Okay, good morning everybody. Hope that you had a nice Yom Kippur. Enjoyed the davening wherever you are. Before we get to the sources on the paper that's going around, I'll just mention to you the end of the Hilchos Yom Kippur in the Ramah. If you open up the Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah at the very end, the last halacha in Hilchos Yom Kippurim. So the Ramah mentions that at the very end, after Yom Kippur is finished, v'hamidach tekim etchila miyad b'motzei Yom Kippur b'asiyat hasukkah kedei latzei mimitzvah al-mitzvah, that the last halacha of Yom Kippur is that to go right into building the sukkah after you break your fast, to go in to start with the walls, with the schach, whatever you have left of the sukkah. And actually, you've probably seen, if you walked out this morning, there's a lot more sukkahs up than there were last night. And that's the segue right from Yom Kippur into sukkahs. If you continue on in the Shulchan Aruch to Hilchos Sukkah, the Ramah, at the very beginning of Hilchos Sukkah, the first comment on Hilchos Sukkah, the Ramah writes, mitzvah l'takein ha-sukkah miyad la'achar Yom Kippur. It's a mitzvah to start building your sukkah or to fix whatever is left of the sukkah right after Yom Kippur. It's a mitzvah b'aliyad la'ayach mitana, that you shouldn't procrastinate, you shouldn't delay in this building of the sukkah right after Yom Kippur. So obviously the question is, he just said that. He just said that at the end of Yom Kippur to go into building the sukkah. Now at the beginning of Hilchos Sukkah, he begins with, right after Yom Kippur is over, make sure to start to build your sukkah. So I once heard from Rabbi Michal Rosenzweig that obviously what the Ramah is teaching us over here is something very critical on both ends. Meaning, your Yom Kippur is not complete if it doesn't culminate in your building of the sukkah. If you're all of those feelings and the height that you feel at Ne'ilah and the crying or not crying, just closeness to Hashem or, okay, Hashem, I want to be better, I want to do better. If that doesn't translate into action, so then your Yom Kippur is not complete. The culmination of Yom Kippur has to be built, has to go into the building, has to go into action. But on the other side of the coin, your sukkah is not complete. Our sukkah, which is filled with actions, which is filled with now not just feelings, but really doing things for Hashem, doing mitzvot. So that's not complete unless it's coming on the heels of Yom Kippur. Meaning the Hilchos Sukkah begins with the end of Yom Kippur. Our doing and all these actions that we're now about to start in terms of living in the sukkah, building the sukkah, shaking the Dalaminim, that has to come on the heels of Yom Kippur. The beginning of it comes with all of those emotions that we felt through the days of the Yamim Noram. So that's one connection that we see between Yom Kippur and Sukkot, the segue that leads us in. And we're going to come to another connection at the end. Okay, so everyone has a sheet. If you look on top, everyone has a paper. If you look at everyone got, are there any extras moving around? Anyone else? Everyone has? If you look at the top of the paper, the main mitzvah of sukkah is mentioned in Vayikra, Perek Chaf Gimel. And the sukkah over there described, B'sukkot Yeshvu Shivat Yamim, Kol Hazach B'Yisrael Yeshvu B'Sukkot. For 7 days, all citizens of Israel, we should sit in the sukkah. L'man yidu doritichem, ki b'sukkot hoshasi b'nei Yisrael, b'hotzi otam mi'eretz Mitzrayim, ki ani Hashem l'kechem. So that we know, all the generations should know, that Hashem placed us in the sukkah when He took us out of Mitzrayim, I'm Hashem, your God. So the Mefarshim explained, there's a machlokas in the Gemara, mitzvos b'inan kavana. Do mitzvos require kavana or not? Meaning, when a person is eating matzah on Pesach, is there some specific kavanah that you need to have? Or no, you could just eat your matzah and your yotzei the mitzvah. So in general, we paskin the mitzvot do not need kavana, but you're still yotzei the mitzvah. As long as you did the mitzvah, even if you didn't have the right kavana, even if you didn't do it lishma, even if you did it for a totally different reason, as long as you did the action, you're okay. Except when it says this, when the Torah says leman yedu dor teichen, in this scenario, the Mefarshim explain that here the kavana is ma'akev. If you don't have the right kavana for sitting in the sukkah, then we're then you're not yotzei the mitzvah leman yedu dor teichen. And so that's our question: what's the kavana that we're supposed to have? Kibisukod hoshati b'nei Yisrael. Why is it a question? It tells us, what should our kavana be? Our kavana should be that Hashem placed us in the sukkah. So that's what the question is. What exactly is the sukkah? So this is actually machlokas in the Gemara, and we're going to see it lines up with the Rishonim as well. If you look at the Gemara in Sukkah, there's a very basic machlokas that the Tanam discussed. Ditanya, learned in the Braisa, ki besukot hashavti b'nei Yisrael, anenei kavod hayu. What did Hashem place us in? He placed us in the anenei kavod. He surrounded us with these clouds to protect us from all the elements, from the from enemies, from the weather. That's what Hashem placed us in. Divrei Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Akiva Meir Sukkot Ma'amish Asulahem. No, what did Hashem place us in? He placed us in like little booths, just like we see outside people building little booths with schach and these four walls or however many walls around. That's what Hashem placed us in. So which one is it? We need to understand which one it is, because come Sunday night, 4 days away, we need to know what we should be thinking about. We'd be thinking about we're like living in this bubble. Hashem put us in these clouds. We're surrounded by these white fluffy things that are protecting us. Or that, oh, here we are sitting in our little booth of a sukkah, just like in the Midbar for 40 years, Hashem placed us in those booths. Okay, so which one should we be thinking? And obviously there's significance behind each of the answers. Okay. Before we get to understanding that machlokas, so there is actually one other possibility that it could be when we talk about the Hashem kibusukod hoshaste b'nei Yisrael behotiyotam yerchin time. There is one other option that it's not little booths and it's not the anenei kavod. But if you look at Bamidbar Perek Lamed Gimel and Parshas Maaseh, when the Torah is recounting all of the stops that b'nei Yisrael made throughout the Midbar, they went to this place and this place. So the Torah writes, "Il Maaseh B'nei Yisrael Asher Yatzu Me'aretz Mitzrayim L'Tzuvatam B'Yad Moshe V'Aaron V'Yichtu Moshe Motzeihem L'Maaseihem Al Pi Hashem V'Il Maaseihem L'Motzeihem." The Torah, Moshe wrote down every single stop that they made in the Midbar. V'Yisu Me'Ramses, they left Ramses, right, in Egypt. B'Chodesh Havishon B'Chamisha Asar Yom L'Chodesh Havishon M'Macharad HaPesach Yatzu B'nei Yisrael B'Yad Ramah L'Enei Kol Mitzrayim. They leave on the 15th of Nisan. And everyone's watching. Umitzrayim mekabrim el asher hika Hashem behem kol b'chor ubeil hayhem asa Hashem shvatim. And meanwhile, the Mitzrayim are like burying all of their dead. For sure, after Yom Suf, there's even more dead. But even before they get to the Yom Suf, they're burying all of the dead from Makas b'choros. Look at Pasukai. What's their first stop after they leave Mitzrayim? V'yisu b'nei Yisrael miRamses v'yachanu be. The Sukkot, okay, so a very pshat explanation of B'Sukkot Hoshate B'nei Yisrael B'Hotziyotam Me'eretz Mitzrayim, that he placed us in Sukkot, is, which Sukkot is it referring to? Oh, there's actually a place called Sukkot when they left Mitzrayim and they're traveling in the Midbar. That's actually their first station, okay? So it's not the classic explanation, but it is a very pshat explanation. Back to the Gemara in Sukkah, the Chazal, though, don't hold by that. They hold it's either the Anenei HaKavod or it's Sukkot Mamish. It's the little booths. So there's actually a question on both of those opinions. There's something wrong with each one of those opinions. What's the problem with each of those opinions? If we say that Hashem placed us in the Anenei HaKavod, so what's the basis for saying that? So first of all, where does that come from in the Psukim at all? Yeah.
Like travel, leaving time, like the
Okay, good. So good. We're going to come to that soon. Meaning, so, but it doesn't say that, right? Meaning, we're going to come to that soon. That like they did have these anane hakavod. Okay. So and we're commemorating that Hashem gave us these anane hakavod when we left Mitzrayim. And we're going to see that He actually did give them to us when we left Mitzrayim. So what's the problem of saying though that this is what we're commemorating? There's really two problems on each of the yeah.
Why specifically now?
Okay, good. So one question, and this we could really ask on both of the answers, is why now? If Hashem gave us those Anane HaKavod when we left Mitzrayim, shouldn't we commemorate it then right after Pesach? After Pesach, Hashem gave us the Anane HaKavod, and so now we're celebrating the Anane HaKavod, the holiday of Sukkot. We should go straight from Sukkot, from Pesach to Sukkot, and then Shavuot, so 7 weeks after Pesach. In between Pesach and Shavuot, we really should have the holiday of Sukkot then. Okay, so why would we be commemorating it now? Excellent. That's one very big question that we're going to have to get to. And then there's another question on that answer, though. If we say that it's Anane HaKavod, there's also another. There's another question. What's the other question? Yeah?
Why necessarily would we make these booths? Like, why necessarily this the way that we make them and all the halacha? Why would it be so specific like that?
Okay, so that's for the other answer, for the Sukkot Mamish. If we're saying it's Sukkot Mamish, like, why? Like, why does it have to look like this?
What would be the connection between the booth, though,
And the Ne'er covered. Okay, so good. We're going to come to that soon. Before we get to the Sukkot Mamish, what about the An the Ne'er covered? Yeah,
the Shabbat? I think that while we
okay, good, excellent. Meaning the An the Ne'er covered weren't the only gift that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us in the Midbar. What else did we have? We also had the man falling for us every day. We also had the Be'er, like this traveling Be'er Mayim that walked with us through the desert. Do we have a holiday celebrating the man? Do we have a holiday celebrating the Be'er Mayim? Why do we like celebrate the Anane HaKavod and not the other Nisan that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for us in the Midbar? Yeah.
Also, wasn't like the Anane HaKavod during the day and then there was like this
power of fire? The Amud
HaEsh
at night.
Right, so like why would like we be
okay, good. So why just the Anane HaKavod and not the Amud HaEsh? Okay, good. Beautiful. So these are all good questions on the Anane HaKavod. Why are we celebrating it now? Why not the Man? Why not the Be'er? Why not the Amud HaEsh? Why specifically the Anane HaKavod? Okay. What about the... if we say, though, that... No, we're commemorating the Sukkot Mamish, right? That when we left Mitzrayim, Hashem, like, we lived in these little booths in the Midbar. Okay? And actually, sometimes, you know, those big posters they sell to hang up in your sukkah. So there's one big poster I saw where it's like there's little booths. Like there's a picture of like it's actually both. There's the Anane HaKavod surrounding Menasha on the Midbar, but then there's like living in little booths in the Midbar in this big great big desert. Okay? So if we say that we're commemorating that we lived in little booths, so what's the question on this answer? That this is what this explanation that we're commemorating Sukkot Mamish. So why are we commemorating that? Meaning, this wasn't a miracle. We're living in little booths. There's no. What's the big deal? There's no nes here. There's no miracle over here. Okay. So what exactly are we commemorating if we follow the opinion of Rabbi Akiva that he says Sukkot Mamish Asulahem that Hashem made us these little booths? Like, so what? Like, what was the big deal? Okay, so and what's the other question on that explanation? So according to this explanation, we also have to answer which question? Why now, right? Meaning, even according to this answer, we want to understand why are we celebrating the holiday of Sukkot now and not after Pesach and not in between Pesach and Shavuot? Okay, why specifically now? Okay, so let's start to look at the Rishonim. The Rishonim line up according to either Rabbi Eliezer, that it's Anane HaKavod, or according to Rabbi Akiva, that it's Sukkot Mamish. So let's look at how the Rishonim hold, and this will help us to maybe like gain a little bit of insight into each of these answers more. Okay, so first, the Eben Ezra. What kind? The Eben Ezra is mostly follows which kinds of explanations? Eben Ezra mostly is a pshat commentator. And so the Eben Ezra explains, Kiba Sukkot, Shayu Osimachar, Shavu Yamsev Sukkot, right? Very pshat. That right after they leave the Yamsev, they make for themselves these little booths, okay? So this is according to whose opinion? Rabbi Akiva, right? Sukkot Mamish. Okay, let's look at the Rashbam. The Rashbam also is which kind of commentator? Also very pshat, more than Rashi. The Rashbam comments, Laman Yedu Dorotichem, Pshuto Kedivrei Ha'omrim B'Masachat Sukkah, Sukkah Mamish. That when we're sitting in the Sukkah, Sunday night, wherever you're going to be, so what should you think about? So the Rashbam says you should imagine B'nai Shal sitting in those little booths. Okay, that's what we should think about. That's the kavana that we should have. Zet Moshe Davar. Chag Hasukot Hasalcha Baspecha Migarnecha Mikvecha Baspecha Tzurat Haaretz Batecha Mayim Kol Tuv Dagan V'Tirosh V'Yitar. What time of year do we do Sukkot? So the other name for Sukkot is, what's another name for Sukkot? Chag HaAsif, right? So Chag HaKatir Shavuos. That's also harvesting. Chag HaSif, isn't that also harvesting? So there's different kinds of harvest. Chag HaKatzir is the wheat harvest, that's Shavuos. Chag HaSif is the fruit harvest, right? There's actually a lot of good fruit in the stores now. In Israel, there's not like fruit all year long. Like you can't get strawberries all year long. You can't get grapes all year long. You can only get it when it's in season. So Chag HaSif, that's Sukkot. This is the fruit harvest. This is it's the end of the summer when we gather in all of those fruits, and our house is filled with bounty. Our house is filled with like the best mangoes and the best strawberries and blueberries and grapes. Okay, and what do we do? The man says, "Kuki besukot hashas ebnei shal b'midbar b'imshana below yishu v'below nachla." This is when we go out and we leave into the sukkah, and we remember that for 40 years we lived like without a home, without being settled down, going from place to place. And so, first the Rashbam says, the first point of Sukkot is that we should remember who gave us all of these things, who gave us so much food, who gave us like such nice houses to live in and everything that I could ask for. Instead of thinking like, whoa, look how great I am. Look at this nice house that I have through. I worked really hard to like make all that money. I worked really hard to get this degree and to build up my practice, and that's why I have such a nice house, and we could afford all of the nicest things in that house. Don't think that. Instead, what should we do on Sukkot? So this is like one of the classic ideas behind Sukkot, is that you leave that whole physical abundance behind. You leave that materialism behind, and we like go live in a little hut, right? It's like such a strange holiday. If someone never heard of Sukkot, it's very bizarre. It's like everyone, and in this country, everyone sleeps in their sukkah. It's like a sleepover, like a camp out for 7 nights in a row. But the point of it, the Rashbam is teaching us, is specifically to move away from that materialism, to move away from that physicality at a time of year when we could feel like so proud of ourselves. Look how much we have. Look how much I've made for myself. I really made it. I have like this nice house. I have everything I could ask for. And so now at this time of year, we leave that behind. Look what he says. Kasid azan nimtza b'parashat ekev tishmeum v'zachayta kol adach asher alichcha Hashem l'kacha zahar b'mshana v'yachircha et haman v'lam ani mitzavah l'cha lasot zo. Why is he commanding us to do this? Ki Hashem l'kacha miviyacha al eretz tova v'achalta v'savata v'ram l'vavcha v'shachachta et Hashem. The Torah tells us already that it's very, it's almost natural. When a person has everything they desire, the very next step is v'ram l'vavcha v'shachachta et Hashem. A person's heart is like very full of themselves when you have everything going for you, and the next step is that you forget Hashem. We like so quickly forget how we got here. We so quickly forget that Hashem worked out all the details for us, that Hashem helped it happen in that way. And so we quickly say to ourselves, oh, it's because I'm so smart, because I worked so hard, because I got this degree, because I built on my practice, and that's why I have everything going for me. And so instead of doing that, the Torah wants us to remember, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu who gave this to us. L'kach yotzim mibatim le'yim kotev. And so the Rashbam said, therefore, specifically at this time of year, right? We're not commemorating a nes. There's no nes that happens here. What are we doing when we leave our houses and go into the sukkah? We're leaving our houses, which are filled with, like, greatness and air conditioning, right? And then we go into the sukkah where it's either freezing cold or we're sweating in the sun, right? It's never very, very comfortable. Maybe like for a few hours in the morning before it gets too hot, depending on where your sukkah is. But it's either very cold or very hot. And we leave that comfortable house, Bizman Asifa, specifically in this time of Chag HaSif, when there's so much more in the house, V'yoshen B'sukkah L'zikaron Shelo Haya Lahem Nachla B'Midbar, to remember, like, in the Midbar, like, we had no place, V'lo Batim L'Shevet, and we didn't have houses. Hashem's providing for us. It was very clear for them in the Midbar that it was HaKadosh Baruch Hu providing for them. U'mipnei Atam Azak Kava HaKadosh at Chag HaSukkot Bizman Asifat Goren V'yekav L'vilti Rom L'vavah. Okay, and so the Rashbam's explanation very much fits in with the themes of Sukkot. That's why on Shabbos Chol HaMoed, what do we read on Shabbos Chol HaMoed? Kohelet, right? Kohelet is all about Havel, Havelim, meaning the whole time of Sukkot is kind of negating that physicality. Everything in the physical world is Havel, materialism, like, we need it, but like it's not like the priority in life. It's not the ikar. We leave our houses and we go into the sukkah. So this explanation, we're not so much focusing on like what Hashem did for us. What are we doing through this explanation? If we follow the opinion of sukkah mamish, so what are we focusing on? We're like, Hashem, look what we're willing to do for you, right? We're leaving our houses, and actually this also fits in with the whole, like, segue from Yom Kippur. The Rambam writes how complete tshuva, a person wants to do complete tshuva, so they have to be golem in koma. They need to also, like, change their place, because that makes a person, like, feel very dependent on Kadosh Baruch Hu. You move to a new place, you have no friends, you, like, don't know anybody, like, you're not settled. You're calling out to Hashem more. So we leave. It's like almost like the last step of tshuva. A person goes to Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur. The culmination of that tshuva process, according to this approach, is sukkahs, right? You want to do real tshuva, so you have to be golem im koma. Leave your house. Leave behind all of that physicality. We're focusing not on really what Hashem did for us, but if we follow the opinion of sukkah mamish, it's about what we do for Hashem. Hashem, look what we're willing to do for you. We're leaving everything behind. We're leaving behind our comfortable, pretty houses with everything inside, and we're going to follow you wherever you go. It's lach teich acharai b'midbar. That's what we're commemorating. We followed Hashem into the desert. We're dependent on Him. We follow Him. We're going to live in this little hut. That's how much we want to be close to you, Hashem. That's how much we need you. Okay. And so it also answers for us the question of why specifically this time of year, right? This is the time of year where there's even more bounty. And so specifically now, that's when we want to commemorate that whole really action that we did after we left Mitzrayim, that we followed Hashem into the desert. And so we're following Hashem, right? Leaving our houses into the sukkah. Yeah. I'm sorry, I can't hear you. Yeah, that's a good question. Meaning, like, sukkahs is, like, you're saying, how do we fit in the, like, there is physicality. You're eating, like, a big corned beef and all of your best side dishes, and, like, there is a lot of physicality. So, I mean, I can't answer it in one shot, but I guess that's also what Kohelet teaches us in the end, that, like, that's real simcha. Simcha isn't, like, a simcha of, like, holalas, and, like, of just celebrating with no reason. We're allowed to celebrate. We're allowed to have external celebrations. It's man simcha sinu. This is the happiest of all the chagim. There's like extra simcha and sukkahs than all the other mawazim. But when it's in the right place, so that's real simcha. Meaning like, if it's in the right proportion and it's used for the right means, so that's the correct simcha. Meaning, not that we have to live lives of like total asceticism, you know, and not partaking in any physicality at all. We leave it behind, right? But it's not that we're fasting now. We did that yesterday, right? There's like one day, once a year, where we're like, where we're totally ascetic. We're like malachim. We're really angels, right? We're like totally not involved in any physicality whatsoever. So sukkahs is like we. It's like in the right proportion. It's to remind us like. To have the right balance, right? Not to be too focused on it, but not that there's nothing of it, okay? And you do that, so then that's true simcha, right? When it's in the right balance, when you're serving Hashem in the correct way. That's just like, very quickly, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, meaning like it's specifically now because that's when they meaning it's not after we left Mitzrayim, then we would do it at like after Pesach, right? But we do it now because now is when there's even more, it's Chag HaSif. And like if we were, and other Mefarshim speak about how if we would do it in like in the springtime like that, it wouldn't be such a big deal because that's like the best weather. That's comfortable weather. It would be nice to be outside. Everyone wants to sit out in their patio. Like on in the springtime in April, so then it wouldn't be such a big deal to like leave our house. But now it's like we're leaving all the physicality, and it's not the best time of year to be sitting outside, right? It's either too cold or too hot. Okay, let's move on to the next approach. So the next approach is that of the Rabbi Akiva. That was Rabbi Akiva. Now Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer is of the opinion of Ananei Kavod. And who holds like Rabbi Akiva? So Rashi says, Kiba Sukkot Hoshafti. Oh, what are we commemorating? What should you think about when we're sitting in the Sukkah Sunday night? Think about that Hashem placed us in the Ananei Kavod, that we were surrounded by these clouds. We're living in a bubble for those 40 years. That's what we should think about, okay? And there are those posters where they show like these big Ananei Kavod surrounding Bnei Yisrael camping out in the desert, surrounded by these big clouds. Okay, so before we get to deeper into this, where did Rashi get this from? Rashi doesn't say that he places an Ananei Kavod. He says, Ki b'sukot hoshafti et Bnei Yisrael b'sukot, right? He placed us in the sukkah when we left Mitzrayim. So where did Rashi get this from? He's making this up. So there's always something like bothering Rashi, right, in the pasuk before he, which makes him comment or explain an answer to a question that's troubling him. So which question is troubling Rashi that makes him say this? So look at back at that pasuk. L'man yedidu atiachem ki besukot hoshati b'nei she'el b'hotziyotam mi'eretz Mitzrayim and yeshem elokeichem. So what's the question that's bothering Rashi that makes him say that it's the Ananei Kavod?
Maybe why it says
Ani
Hashem at the end of the
pasuk? Why it says Ani Hashem? Why would that make it the Ananei Kavod?
Because it's reminding you that like I was the one that did.
Okay, interesting. Meaning it's like focusing on the miracle. The other thing's not a miracle. It's like Ani Hashem Lekechem. I did this miracle. Very nice. I didn't see anyone that says that, but I like that a lot. Meaning like it's focusing on the, like the miraculous part. Anyone could build a sukkah, right? But only a Kadosh Baruch Hu could make the Ananei Kavod. That's very nice. That's great. What's your name?
Adina.
Thank you. Okay, yeah, Yasmin. Beautiful. Okay, so that's how the Mizrahi explains that. Meaning, what lashon is it? Ki b'sukot hoshafti et b'nei Yisrael. What's hoshafti? Hoshafti is lashon hifya. Like, he did it to us. Does he, Hashem, have to place us in the booths? Who built the booths? Did Hashem build the little sukkahs for us? No. If it was talking about little booths, right? So what should it have said? Which word should it have used instead? Ki b'sukot? Like, yeshavnu, right? What kibisukot hoshafti? He placed us in it. So, if it says kibisukot hoshafti, so the Eliyahu Mizrahi says, no, that must mean that it's ananakavod. From the fact that it has that lashon hifyel, he placed us in it. So it must be that same about the ananakavod. Okay, that's Rashi, and the Ramban agrees. Look at the Ramban. Okay, and the Ramban agrees with Rashi. And so Hashem is commanding us that all the generations should know the tremendous, miracle that he did by placing us in these Ananei Kavod as if it's a sukkah. What's sukkah mean? What does sukkah mean? What does sukkah mean? That it could also mean ananei kavod. So socha, what is socha? So socha is like to cover, to protect, right? So kisukkah, right? He's protecting us in the ananei kavod as if it's a sukkah. Ke'inyan shenamar bara Hashem al kol machon ha'tzion ve'al mikra'a anan yaman ve'ashem v'naga ish la'va lele ki al kol kvod chafa v'sucha tiyya letel yaman mecha, meaning he's covering us, he's protecting us from all of the dangers and hard conditions of the midbar as if it's a sukkah. The ananaka would act as the protection for us. M'pnei shekar pivesh anan Hashem alem yaman v'amud ha'ish b'lele amar stam ki b'sukot ho'shafti. And the Ramban explains, it doesn't say Ananei Kavod because it already told us that he gave us the Anan in the day and the Amud Ha'esh Aneid. And so now it's explaining that those Ananei HaKavod are acting for us like a sukkah. Ki b'sukot hashati. That was the protection. The protection he gave us was the ananei kavod. V'azikar and sheyedu v'yizachru sheyayu b'midbar lo ba'al b'vayit v'ir moshav lo matzu b'arvim shana v'Hashem haya mehem lo chasru davar. That Hashem provided us this protection. We were missing nothing. We were lacking nothing in the midbar. Okay? So we have questions on this as well, right? If we follow the opinion that it's ananei kavod, so number one, why are we commemorating this miracle more than any other miracle? Why don't we have a whole holiday about the man? That was also a huge nes that Kadosh Baruch Hu did for us in the midbar. And why are we celebrating it now? This makes even more sense. Ananei HaKavod, Kadosh Baruch Hu gave it to us right when we left the right when we left Mitzrayim. If you look at the psukim right underneath in Shmo Perk Yigimel, right when we come out of Mitzrayim, Vashem Holech Lifnem Yoman Bamud Anan. Shouldn't we commemorate this right after Pesach? He gave us that protection. He gave us these Ananei HaKavod right when we left Mitzrayim. So why are we celebrating this now and not then? Okay? And why specifically the Ananei HaKavod? Why don't we have a whole holiday for the Be'er? For the Be'er Maim that was with us, why don't we have a whole holiday for the man? Okay. So, Rabbi Chesko Levenstein, so he explains, there's something different about the Ananei HaKavod than the man and the Be'er. What's different about the Ananei HaKavod? Anyone? There's something, yeah, Yasmin? Beautiful. Okay, good, excellent. So Rabbi Chesko Levenstein, so he explains that a person can't live without food. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't provide us for the man in the midbar, we would have had no chance to survive. We needed the man. It's almost like he had to do that miracle for us. And a person also can't survive without water. You can't live for 40 years without water, or even a week without water. It was a miracle that he gave us the Be'er, but it's almost like he had to give us the Be'er, because if not, we wouldn't have survived. But did we need the Ananei HaKavod? Did we need that extra protection of extra protection from the heat and from the enemies surrounding us? Could we have survived without the Ananei HaKavod? Yes, we could have survived. It wouldn't have been as comfortable. It wouldn't have been as great an experience, the midbar, without the Ananei HaKavod, but we could have survived. And so what did the Ananei HaKavod show us? The Ananei HaKavod, why did he do that miracle for us? because he loves us. He wants us to be comfortable. He didn't need to do this for us. He loves us so much, right? He wanted it to be extra good for us and totally comfortable. That it should be the perfect temperature and that we shouldn't have to worry about our enemies. So he gave us Ananei HaKavod, like an extra gift of love, okay? The Be'er and the Man don't show that same love. It was like, if we were going to survive, he had to give it to us. The Ananei HaKavod, like, very clearly show HaKadosh Baruch Hu's love for us, okay? So we have a whole holiday to commemorate what? If we follow this opinion that it's Ananei HaKavod, it's commemorating HaKadosh Baruch Hu's love for us. He loves us so much that he wants it to be, like, perfect for us. Yeah.
So according to Rav Levinstein, the Amud Eish
should be, like, included in the Ananei HaKavod? Yeah, I guess that was their protection at night.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, so, but why now? Yeah.
Yeah,
okay. So, but we still have the question, why now? Why are we celebrating this now? We could have celebrated this holiday of love after Pesach. Okay, so we got the Ananei HaKavod right when we leave Mitzrayim, except very soon after we leave Mitzrayim, what happened? So if you turn over to the other side of your page, 7 weeks after we leave Mitzrayim, where do we arrive? We arrive at Har Sinai, and we get the Torah, and we get the Luchos, right? But very soon after that, Moshe goes back up to Har Sinai, and what happens? We quickly forget, like, that Hashem is with us, that He's helping us, that, like, He's providing for us, and we get very scared. It looks like Moshe's a little bit late, and we commit this terrible sin of Chet Ha'Ega, right? Look at Pasuk, at Perek Lamed Ben and Shmo. V'yashem Moshe al Hashem, v'yomar ana chata'am azeh chata'a gdola, v'yasu lahem el hezahav. Moshe tells Hashem, look what this nation did. They did this terrible sin. They made a golden calf. V'ata im tisa chata'am b'mayim mechinina misifracha asher katafta. Please forgive them, Hashem, or else erase me from your book. V'yomar Hashem al Moshe, mi asher chital yam chani misifrei. No, Moshe, the people that sinned against me, those are the ones that I'm going to erase. V'atalech nechera am al asher dibarti lach, hine malachi elech lefanacha, u'biyom pakdi u'pakadati aleyem chatatam. What's our punishment after the Chet Ha'Egel? So Hashem says, like, you go lead the nation, I'll send my malach to protect you, I'll send my malach to lead you. We lose the Ananei HaKavod. The Ananei HaKavod, which were with us from when we left Mitzrayim until we get to Har Sinai, there's no more Ananei HaKavod now. And we see that also in Perek Lamed Gimel, that Moshe is told to, like, take his little tent outside the Machane. Look at Shmot Lamed Gimel. Moshe kachad ha'ohel v'natal mi'chutz ha'machane. Moshe takes his tent and brings it outside the camp. Harchik min ha'machane v'kara lo ohel moed natz ohel moed v'yakum v'kish Hashem yitzeh el ohel moed el ohel moed Hashem mi'chutz ha'machane. Anyone that wanted to, like, talk to Hashem, like, to that sought out Hashem had to leave the machane. V'yakatzei Moshe el ohel el ha'ohel yakumu kol ha'am v'nitzvu ish petach ha'olo v'bitach v'moshe adbo el ha'ohela v'yakavo Moshe ha'ohela yarad amud ha'anan. When Moshe would come into his tent, what would come with him? The Amud Hanan, meaning they're not with the people anymore. The Ananei HaKavod aren't protecting the people. Who is the Anan protecting only now? It's only with Moshe, right? Moshe's tent, which is now Michutz HaMachane, it's the Ananei HaKavod are over there. V'ma petach ha'ohel v'diber Moshe. V'ra'a kol am et Amud Hanan, omed petach ha'ohel, v'kam kol am yishtachavu, ish petach ha'ohel. They would see it, but it wasn't protecting them. V'diber Hashem ha'Moshe panim ha'panim, k'asher diber isha re'ehu, Hashem would speak with Moshe face to face. V'shav el ha'machane, u'mishato yoshua b'nun na'ar lo yomish mitach ha'ohel. Okay. Look what Rashi says. Rashi gives us, like, the whole timeline of events over here. V'shav el ha'machane, Moshe would return then to the machane. After he would like speak with Hashem in his little like outhouse, right? Like the out tent, which had the Ananei HaKavod. So then he would come back to the Machane after he spoke with Hashem. He would teach everyone what he learned. The 17th of Tammuz, that's when Cheder Egel happened, that's when the Luchot were broken. The 18th of Tammuz, that's when Moshe burns the Egel, the 19th of Tammuz, he goes back up. Those whole 40 days from Shavasar Batamas until Yom Kippur, Moshe is up on Har Sinai asking for Rachamim. Hashem, please forgive Bnei Yisrael for their chet. Shneamar, Be'etz Napelef Neshem, Uberosh Chodesh Elol, Neamar Lo, Valita Babokar Al Har Sinai, Lekabel Luchot HaAchmano. I'm sorry, from Yidzaim Tammuz till Rosh Chodesh Elol is 40 days, and then another 40 days from Rosh Chodesh Elol till Yom Kippur. Vasasham Arbim Yom, another 40 days where he's up by Har Sinai. Shneamar Behem, Shneamar Behem, Vanochi Amatiti Behem, so it's 40 plus 40. Ma have you shown him beratzon? Af achronim beratzon. Basara betishe nitzata kash brach lishal. On the 10th of Tishrei, so Hashem forgives us. Besimcha ubelev shalom. He's happy. He's like happy to forgive us. I just heard this story. Maybe you heard it was like going around, like of this little girl that wanted to like buy something for her sister. So she walks into this jewelry store and she only has 8 shekels. Did you hear the story? It was just going around. So it's such a beautiful message. Meaning,
can you say it?
Yeah. Does everyone know it?
No, I don't know it.
Okay. This girl that walked. It's a true story. This girl walked in to buy a bracelet for her sister. It's a jewelry store, like Meir Sharim, and she picks out this gorgeous like bracelet, like thousands of dollars, $4,000, and she asks, how much is it? She says, I have 8 shekels, so says, like, what do you want this bracelet for? So she says, I don't have any parents. My older sister takes care of us, and she works so hard and helps us so much. I want to buy her a bracelet. So he says, that's how much it costs. And he gives it to her, and he wraps it up, and he brings it, and she brings it home to her sister. So like a few days later, the sister comes back to the store and says, my sister stole this. Like, she has no money. It can't be. She bought me this bracelet, which was thousands of dollars. And this is like 8, and she had 8 shekels. So he says, you don't understand. Like, I'm an Alman. I have no wife, and I haven't seen that kind of love since my wife passed away. And so he says, I wanted to give it to her. That's how much it cost. So the mashal that I heard like explain is that this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does for us on Yom Kippur. That we say to Hashem, like, oh, I'll do this a little bit, you know, and Hashem accepts it. Like, it's like out of so much love that we're doing that. Like, Hashem, I could only pay with this much. I could only do this little bit, but like, that's what I have to pay you with. And Hashem accepts it because like he sees how much love. So even though like we're not totally clean and we have so much more to go, but it's coming from that love. And so that's what Hashem does. Hashem considers it as if we paid in full with those little actions, with the little Kabbalah we took. Hashem considers it as if we paid everything. And Hashem tells us, like, I forgive you, it's a clean slate. We paid everything. We start fresh. He gives us the new luchos. And what does he start to tell us? So right away after Yom Kippur, so we're commanded to start doing what? To start building the Mishkan. Okay? So the Vilna Gaon explains that the Ananei HaKavod were lost. After the Cheder HaEgel, we lost those Ananei HaKavod. Right after Yom Kippur, when we're forgiven for the Cheder HaEgel, so shouldn't we have gotten the Ananei HaKavod back, like today? Why don't we start Sukkos today? So the Vilna Gaon, the Gra, explains that right after we're forgiven, he commands us to build the Mishkan, and then we spend these days getting ready to build the Mishkan. If you look at Shmot Lamed Hey, how do we respond to that commandment to build the Mishkan? We let come out like the entire congregation. We come out like the entire congregation, like with all these donations. And if you look in the continuation in Shmot Lamed Vav, V'yaveyu kol ha-chachmim ha-sim ha-kom lechad ha-kodesh ish ish mi-machtau ha-shahim ha-sim V'yamru ha-moshe le-mor marbim ha-am la-vi mi-dei ha-vodah. We were so excited, right, with the Mishkan that like they tell Moshe like Marbim Ha'am Lavi, like it's too much. V'amalacha ha'ita dayan l'chom l'cha la'sorata v'hota, right? Meaning it was even extra. We were so excited to start like building, to start doing, that Hashem forgave us, that it was even more than was necessary for the Mishkan. So the Vilna Gaon says that's what these 4 days are. These 4 days correspond to those days where they're like building the Mishkan. I always feel like these 4 days in between Yom Kippur and Sukkot are like these action-packed days of mitzvah. It's like there's so much to do to get ready for Sukkot. So I come and we're on such a high from Yom Kippur, and we're like getting ready the whole time. Like you have to get your down meaning, you have to build your sukkah, you have to cook all of your food, make your cinnamon buns. Like there's so much to do. It's like the mitzvah bunny. It's like you're running from this to this. So but the Vilna Gaon explains that's why we have Sukkot now. Why? Because the Anane HaKavod that we're commemorating, if we follow the opinion that it's the Anane HaKavod, so the first Anane HaKavod didn't last. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us those Anane HaKavod when we left Mitzrayim, but they were quickly, we're undeserving of them when we sinned Achid HaEgal. When do we become re-deserving of them again? After Yom Kippur, right? And we, like, Hashem forgives us, and then He's waiting for us, though, to, like, throw ourselves into the mitzvot again. So then Hashem, like, comes back to us and fill the Ananei HaKavod that we celebrate on Tesvav Tishrei. Those are the Ananei HaKavod that Kadosh Baruch Hu restored to us after we were forgiven for the Chid HaEgel, after Yom Kippur, after the Salachti. So we come out with, like, two different approaches. The approach of the Sukkah Mamis and the approach of the Ananei HaKavod really is like, who are we going to focus on? Are we going to focus on what we do for Hashem? The Sukkah Mamis is like the represents how much we do for Hashem. Hashem, look, we're willing to leave this behind. We're willing to leave our big houses and our comfortable air conditioner and nice couches to go sit in these little huts, right? And we remember it's from you. Are we commemorating what we did? Or the Ananei HaKavod is commemorating, look what Hashem did for us. He forgave us, not just that He forgave us, but He brings us back the Ananei HaKavod. The Ananei HaKavod, which are a total like gift of love. He didn't need to give it to us. The man, we couldn't have survived without. The Be'er Hamayim, we couldn't have survived without. But the Ananei HaKavod, that was like an extra dose of Ahava that Kadosh Baruch Hu gives for us. Okay? So it's either the focus on us, or the focus on how much we love Hashem, or the focus is on how much Hashem loves us. So which one is it? Which one should we think about when we sit in the sukkah and the kavana is ma'akev? If you don't think about the right thing, so it's ma'akev. So the Tor, or Chaim, who's the one who like brings up that idea that you need to have kavana. If you don't have kavana, like during Kiddush, wherever you're hearing Kiddush, Sunday night, so make sure to have kavana. about like something, right? That we're sitting in the sukkah that we're commemorating, either sukkah mamish or ane akavos. So which one is it? So the Torah writes, "Vasukot shomer hakatuv shoshivanu behem him anane kvodal shekifan behem lebal yakeh behem sharav v'shamesh v'dugmal ezet shivanu lasot sukkah kadesh niskor nefotav nevatav." We sit in our little sukkah, and what's it really commemorating? It's really commemorating the protection that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to us through the Anan HaKavod. So why is it this? So I was thinking, why is this the one? Why is this the one that we paskin is the kavana that we're supposed to have? We should focus on how much Hashem loves us. So there's a pasuk in Shir HaShirim. Look at the pasuk, and Yishinav Libi Er, like one of the famous psukim. The raya is sleeping, the woman is sleeping, and her beloved is knocking on the door. Pitzchili, and he says, like, open for me. Achoti rayati yonati tamati sheroshinim latak futatayis yisraela. So the Vilna Gaon comments on this pasuk. What is that? Pitzchuli achoti, my sister, rayati, my friend, yonati, my dove, tamati, my perfect one. He says those four languages that he uses to describe her, there's four catalysts. There's four reasons that bring a person to love someone. So what are, and it's almost like four levels. What are the four levels of love? So the Lenagon says, why do we love someone? So he says one reason we love someone, one catalyst to love, is because they give you physical pleasure. So that's one reason. Another reason we love someone is because we recognize, like, they assist us in accomplishing our goals. Without this person, I would never be able to do this or that. A third reason we love someone is because we recognize within them like noble qualities. Like we see, like, wow, he's like such a great guy, he's such a good downer, he's such a nice midos. Like we see good qualities within someone. And the last reason he says why we love someone is for no conscious reason other than we sense that they love us. So first of all, the Vilna Gaon explains, like, why is it so hard? Why isn't the world filled with love? How come people just don't get along? Why aren't people just in love with everybody? In, like, humanity, you love everybody. So he says the reason why we don't, like, love is rare is because you need, like, certain midos to acquire love. If a person lacks gratitude, so then they're not going to be able to... You're missing A and B then, right? If you're lacking gratitude, then you don't appreciate that this person gives you physical pleasure. If you're lacking gratitude, you don't appreciate that this person helps you assist you with your goals, okay? So if we're lacking gratitude, then it's very hard to build like a pure relationship of love if you're missing that hakarsato. If a person doesn't have goals, right? They're not motivated, they're not driven, so then someone isn't going to be able to help them assist them in their goals, okay? If a person is so self-absorbed in their own ego and in their own self and selfish, then it's hard for them to recognize noble qualities in another person, okay? So the Vilna Gaon says, though, what's the highest level? The highest level of love is like that last level. He says when we love someone for no conscious reason other than that we sense that they love us. So to do that, a person also has to believe that someone could love them. They have to have enough like self-esteem to believe that I'm lovable, that this person could really love me. So I think though that's what sukkah is. What's sukkah? And this is like the segue from Yom Kippur. Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur are filled with yira. They're filled with like this sense of awe that Kadosh Baruch Hu is the Melech. He's high. He's mighty. He's in control. He's like far from us. We're like these little ants down here on the globe, and Kadosh Baruch Hu is running like the entire universe. Like the globe is just like a dot in the universe, and I'm just a dot on this little earth. That's the Yamim Noram, and we recognize like how small we are in relation to Kadosh Baruch Hu, and like He's it's a Yirah, like he's distant from me, right? But I recognize that he's the Melech and he's in control. What's Sukkos? So we want to enter like a relationship of Ahava. Sukkos is like the last leg of the Yamim Noram. It's not just like one of the Shlosh Regalim, it's also one of the Chagei Tishrei. It's also like coming on the heels of Yom Kippur. Sukkos is when we take all of that Yira, and now it's like we come into this relationship of Ahava. We sit in the Sukkah and we remember that Hashem, He really loves us. He really wants what's best for me personally. He really cares about me. He wants what's good for me in my life. And He knows what's good for me in my life better than when I know what's good for me in my life. Sometimes I think this would be good, and Hashem knows what's better for me than what I know is good for me. And so we sit in the sukkah, which has how many walls? How many walls does a sukkah need to have?
Two and a half.
So what's so 2.5, if Pinkus explains, is like a hug, right? It's like 1, 2, and then the little half, right? We sit in the sukkah. This is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's embrace of Am Yisrael. He's literally hugging us. He wants us to be close to us. Like after all of like those heart-wrenching tefillos, and we cry out to Hashem, we sit in the sukkah on Sunday night, and the kavana that the Torah tells us to have is that it's the Anan HaKavod, that He loves us, that no matter like what happens, it's coming to us from an ahava, and He wants us to be with Him. And so if a person is able to feel that love, right, which is hard to do sometimes because like you need to believe that He could love you. Like, and if a person doesn't have self-esteem and they only think about their negative things, then it's hard to believe that Hashem could really love you. But He wants us to believe that He could love us. And so the more we could believe that Kadosh Baruch Hu really is out for our best and is really, really does love us and really is embracing us, then Be'ezrat Hashem will be able to love Him back. And that's the ultimate level of Ahava that Sukkos is bringing us to. And so Be'ezrat Hashem, we should all have Sukkos filled with true simcha, that simcha which is based on like values and being in a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it should bring us into a period and a tekufa of like the ultimate relationship with Hashem. Chag Sameach. Enjoy.